Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Chapter entitled The First Step in God Realization, Text Number 9. Parinishtito pi nirgunya. Parinishtito pi nirgunya. Uttama shloka lilaya.
Uttama shloka lilaya.
Uttama shloka lilaya. Grihita cheta rajashe.
Grihita cheta rajashe.
Grihita cheta rajashe.
Grihita cheta rajashe.
Akhyanam yadaditavan.
Akhyanam yadaditavan.
Akhyanam yad aditavan.
Akhyanam yad aditavan.
Parinishtito pi nirgunya.
Parinishtito pi nirgunya.
Uttama shloka lilaya.
Uttama shloka lilaya.
Grihita cheta rajashe.
Grihita cheta rajashe.
Akhyanam yad aditavan.
Akhyanam yad aditavan.
Parinishtita, fully realized. Api, in spite of. Nirgunye, in transcendence. Uttama, enlightened. Shloka, verse. Lilaya,
by the pastimes.
Grihita,
being attracted.
Cheta,
attention.
Rajashe,
or
saintly
king.
Akhyanam,
delineation.
Yat,
that.
Atitavan,
I have studied.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O saintly king, I was certainly situated perfectly in transcendence, yet I was still attracted by the delineation of the pastimes of the Lord, who is described by enlightened verses. Translation responsibly. O saintly king, I was certainly situated perfectly in transcendence.
Yet I was still attracted by the delineation
of the pastimes of the Lord, who is described by enlightened verses. The absolute truth is realized as the impersonal Brahman at the first instance by philosophical speculation, and later as the supersoul by further progress and transcendental knowledge. But if, by the grace of the Lord, an impersonalist is enlightened by the superior statements of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is also converted into a transcendental devotee of the personality of Godhead. With a poor fund of knowledge, we cannot adjust to the idea of the personality of the absolute truth, and the personal activities of the Lord are deplored by the less intelligent impersonalists. But reasons and arguments, together with the transcendental process of approaching the absolute truth, help even the staunch impersonalists to become attracted to the personal activities of the Lord. A person like Shukadeva Goswami cannot be attracted by any mundane activity, but when such a devotee is convinced by a superior method, he is certainly attracted by the transcendental activities of the Lord. The Lord is transcendental, as are his activities. He is neither inactive nor impersonal. Om Gyan Timanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manogisham Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pancha Kalpaturugascha Kripa Sindhubi Evacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. So this is one of my favorite parts of the Bhagavatam, first three chapters of the second canto. Many, many relevant verses. In the beginning of this chapter, many powerful verses, which are extremely relevant also. Srila Prabhupada said about the first canto, second chapter of the first canto. What is the second chapter of the first canto called? Divinity and divine service. Right. Prabhupada said that chapter is so important we should memorize the entire chapter. And if you look at this chapter, so far, up until now, basically every verse is extremely important and extremely applicable. We should memorize these verses. If we are going to become scholars of the Bhagavatam, pundits, as Prabhupada wanted us to. Prabhupada said we should know his books like the lawyers know the law books. Just like if you go to court, if you have a good lawyer, he can say, in this book it says this, in this book it says that. And then he gives strength to his arguments. We already had this case in 1932, same circumstances. And it was, so he knows the books. Prabhupada said we should know the books like the lawyers know the law books. We should know, Prabhupada also said, we should know the Bhagavatam or the Gita like the Christians know the Bible. Sometimes you meet the Christians, the preachers, and they preach to you on the street while you're doing book distribution or something. And they know the Bible. They say, in John 8:16 it says, and they give the shloka. They know their Bible. So we should know Prabhupada's books like that, inside and out. So we can preach authoritatively. So we can be convincing. People will be convinced that we know the books. Prabhupada once said, he said, if I have one criticism of my disciple, they do not read my books. And all, Prabhupada might have been up here, I think. I think it was here in Melbourne, somewhere. Prabhupada was, he was imitating one of his disciples, a book distributor on the street. And Prabhupada was saying, he was pretending he was the book distributor, the disciple. So Prabhupada said, take the book, take the book. And then the person says, what is in the book? And Prabhupada said, I don't know what's in the book. Just take the book. Huh? He said, that's my disciples are sometimes like that. They distribute so many books, but they don't even know what's in the books. Prabhupada said he wrote the books for us first, then the general public second. So we have to know Prabhupada's books. Now, in two verses, all these verses are incredibly important, but two verses from now, number 11, the verse is integral to the entire Bhagavatam. The process of self-realization for the entire Bhagavatam is given in the 11th verse of the first chapter of the second canto. Hari Nam Anukirtanam. Hari Nam. The entire process of self-realization, which the Bhagavatam is teaching us, is Hari Nam Anukirtanam. You should chant Hari Nam, the holy names of Krishna. What is Lord Chaitanya's teachings? If you look at Shikshastika, Lord Chaitanya only wrote 8 verses that we know of. Sometimes it says he wrote a few more things, but generally we say he only wrote Shikshastika. Everything else was instructed to his followers, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Ramananda Roy, different followers. But he himself only wrote 8 verses. Now in those 8 verses, you have the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. The entire process of Shraddha to Prema is within those 8 verses. Now in the 3rd verse, which is extremely important for the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the practitioners of the Sankirtan movement, he says that we should Kirtaniyaha Sada Hari. We should always chant the holy name of Krishna. Sada Hari, always we should be chanting. That is our process. Now if you look at the Bhagavatam right here, where is Lord Chaitanya deriving that instruction from? Because he wrote both books. Right? Both books are coming from him. He is the Supreme Lord. He is Sarvajna. He is all-knowing. Vedanta Krit, Vedavit, Aham Eva Vejo. I compiled them, he says. He did it through Vyasadeva, but the point is that he compiles the Vedas. It's all coming from Lord Chaitanya. It's all coming from Krishna. So, it says here, Harinam Anu Kirtanam. Harinam Anu Kirtanam. Anu means continuous, right? Or following. It has different meanings. It's a very important word in our philosophy. Anu. If you look at the Paribhasa Sutra, or the primary verse of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Prabhupada says is our law book, right? In the main verse, right, we hear about Anu. Anushilanam. Krishna Anushilanam. Anu means, first of all, it means us. We are Anu. Krishna is Vipu. Vipu means he has Vaibhav. Vaibhav means unlimited potency. That is Krishna. Right? We are Anu. Anu means insignificant potency. Insignificant potency. What can we do? We can't do very much at all. Yeah? We're lucky if we can breathe. We're lucky if we can blink. It's all happening by Krishna. If Krishna gives power, Shakti Avesh, Shakti Avesh. If Krishna gives you power, then you can do so many things. Even the Shakti Avesh avatars, they can do practically as much as Krishna by his potency. Krishna Shakti Vina, it says within Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you don't get Krishna Shakti, you can't preach. It's all coming from Krishna. Bottom line. We have to, sooner or later, we have to understand this. At this point in time, we're mixed in our bhakti. Mixed means we think it's us and we think it's Krishna. We know it's Krishna, but we also think it's us a lot of the time as well. Right? If we have success in our preaching or success in our service, we still think in our consciousness, I did it to a certain extent. But the fact is that the potency is coming from Krishna. Sooner or later, we have to realize that fully. And that's when you become completely empowered. Just like you see Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was completely empowered. Why? Because he understood this is coming from above. He didn't think, I am doing this. But I am getting the ability from somewhere above me. So this is the word Anu. Anu means very small, insignificant. That is who we are. We are insignificant. Anu also means follower. Anu. Just like we have Ramanuj. Who is Ramanuj? Anu. Anu means following. Ram, Anuj. Who follows Ram? Lakshman, right? So he's called Ramanuj. Ramanuj is one who is following. Also we have the, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Kama Esha, Krota Esha, Rajaguno Samubhava. So Krota is called Kam Anuj. Krota means anger, right? Kam Anuj. Whenever lust or desire is frustrated, then anger follows. So Kam Anuj, anger Krota, is always following, straight behind. As you see, as soon as someone becomes frustrated, their desires are not being fulfilled, or your lust is not being fulfilled, then automatically anger arises. If you want to do an anger management course, they teach anger management, right? How to control your anger. If you want to control your anger, you have to control your lust. You have to control your desires. Because the anger is only coming from desires. It's not vice versa. It's not that anger breeds desire. Desire breeds anger. So this is Krishna's methodology. You want to control your anger? If you have a problem with anger, right, control your desire, control your lust. Right, then you'll become peaceful. So Anu. Anu means we are following. Right? Anu also means continuous. Bhakti must be continuous. Anu Shilanam. We must be doing devotion to Krishna continuously. It's not we just do it on Sunday. On Sunday we will go to the temple, right? Or on Sunday we will go to church. No. In our tradition, we do it every day. That's why the outside world sometimes thinks we're fanatical. Why do you have to be so fanatical? Why do you have to do it every day? You can do that when you get old. When you get old, you can do it every day. Now you're young. Enjoy your senses. Have some fun. You can do it once a week. On Sunday, you can go to the temple or the church or the mosque or the synagogue. But you don't have to do it every day. No. Devotional service is anyu, is continuous. Why? Because that is the nature of the soul. The nature of the soul is to continuously serve Krishna. There are no holidays in the spiritual world. You know, you don't go to Radha and Krishna and say, you know, I'm really fried. I just need a break. I got too much service. Sometimes you hear the devotee say, I've got too much service. Prabhupada was very careful about that, actually, not to overload the devotees. Prabhupada didn't want the devotees overloaded in service. Prabhupada would, he said, is it still in the, what do you call it, the reception on the wall? Happy and Satisfied? Is that letter still on the wall? Prabhupada, famous one by Prabhupada. Prabhupada says everyone should be happy and satisfied. We shouldn't be pushing the devotees so much that Prabhupada says in that letter, if you read it, very important letter, Prabhupada says devotees should not lose enthusiasm. Sometimes we're doing so much, we just start losing enthusiasm for devotional service. We think it's easy being a non-devotee. You know, then it's easier, you know, and I'll have some relief like that. So we should be careful not to overextend the devotees. Prabhupada was very conscious of it. Prabhupada didn't want the devotees overextended. He says in that letter, he says, even if you only preach to one person a day, he said, that's enough. He said, I'm just inventing all these big, big temples and all these services to keep you occupied. But if you're preaching to one person a day, that's enough. In other words, Prabhupada said we should do Herculean tasks in the service of Krishna. So if we can, if we have the capacity, yeah, do so much. Change the world. Like Prabhupada, that was Prabhupada's mission. Prabhupada said, I have a disease. I do not know how to think small. He can't think small. Prabhupada said, oh yeah, we'll just go and have a little temple over there. Prabhupada in 1967, before ISKCON was anywhere, ISKCON was 26 Second Avenue, and I think they'd gone to San Francisco. So like two temples, I think. You know, maybe someone went up to Toronto or something, but that was ISKCON. And Brahmananda Prabhu, Prabhupada says that Prabhupada had a globe on his desk, and Prabhupada used to spin the globe. Just sit there, just spinning the globe. And he said, we'll have a temple here, Brahmananda can go here, Gargamuni can go here, Kirtananda can go here. Satsarup can go here. So this was Prabhupada's vision, 1967. Prabhupada's sitting in 26 Second Avenue in a little room behind a desk with no furniture. Now that was Prabhupada. Like that. So we should also try to preach vigorously like him. But the point is we should not fry the devotees out. That's not the point. But in the spiritual world, the service is anu, continuous. It doesn't stop. There's a couple of advantages about the spiritual world, though. You have a spiritual body, which is a big advantage when you're serving Krishna, because the spiritual body doesn't get tired. Big advantage. Like that. The spiritual world, everyone can serve Krishna as much as they want to. They can keep up with the pace. Down here we have trouble keeping up. We want to do service to Krishna. Even Prabhupada was only sleeping 2 hours a day. But Prabhupada said, when I go to sleep, I feel like it is death. Prabhupada said that. He said, I feel like I'm just wasting my time. And that's how we feel. We feel like, you know, I wish I didn't have to sleep and do these bodily activities. I wish I could just serve Krishna unlimitedly. But in the material world, we have to take care of the body. The body has necessities. We need to sleep. Bhagavatam says sleep is a function of intelligence, buddhi. What happens when you don't sleep enough? Crazy. Go crazy. Very good. Yeah, it's true. When you don't sleep enough, I know what I'm like. I'm dysfunctional. A few days, I'm not sleeping, I just become wired, dysfunctional. Like, I don't know what's going on. Right? Start talking all sorts of nonsense. I do that all the time anyway. But start talking all sorts of nonsense. Just like, can't control the mind. The mind just goes wherever it wants. Sleep is a function of the intelligence. We should sleep very soundly. Have good sleep. It's important. It's bhakti, actually. It's not mode of ignorance. If you're using it in Krishna service, it's not mode of ignorance. If you're not oversleeping, it's not mode of ignorance. It's bhakti. It's resting so that you can do more service for Krishna. In the spiritual world, there is no necessity. No one has to sleep. How much does Krishna sleep in the spiritual world? Not very much. If you read the pastimes, if you read the Ashtakaliya Leela, right, he gets put to bed around about 10:30 at night. In Nanda Maharaja's palace in Nandagram, they have a big festival every night. Every night, big festival. Right? So every night, they have musicians. Krishna and Balaram sit on a golden platform in a big hall. Big, huge, vast, beautiful hall. And they sit on a golden platform with Nanda Maharaj and close family members. Dancers, actors, musicians, poets, everyone comes in. They have every evening, there's like a big festival. And everyone enjoys so much. Nanda Maharaj sponsors it for everyone. It's so enjoyable up there. We're down here missing out on all the enjoyment. But actually up there, unlimited enjoyment. So around about 10:30, Krishna starts feigning sleep. He starts kind of nodding a bit and yawning. Mother Yashoda thinks, okay, you have to put him to bed. So takes him to bed. Puts him down in bed, gives some hot milk. He drinks some hot milk. Gets in bed. She just strokes him very softly on the forehead. And then he just starts drifting off. And then she reads stories about Ramayana. Or not reads, but she speaks about Ramayana. Lord Ram did this, and Lakshman did this. And sometimes Krishna gets excited. And he jumps up. And he says, Lakshman, get my bow. Like that. He gets in the mood of Lord Ram. Like that. But most of the time he just listens to the stories. And then he goes... And the mother showed, and she quietly walks out, shuts the door, and as soon as the door shuts, he goes. No sleep. He doesn't sleep very much. Even when he sleeps, it's yoga nidra. He's not really asleep, it's mystical slumber. Like that. So as soon as the door closes, right, sometimes some of his friends are hiding under the bed. Subal Sridhama, they hop out. And then they get some pillows and they make a false Krishna under their blankets, under the sheets. And then Krishna's out the window into the night. And there is rendezvous. Rendezvous means meeting place. So he heads into the forest. Meanwhile, other people are heading into the forest also from a different direction. And then they meet up at a particular place like that. So there's no sleep. And then, from like 11 o'clock at night until 3:30 in the morning, what takes place? What happens? Every night. Every night in the spiritual world, what happens? Every night. Dancing and singing. Every night. That's all they do. Dance and sing. Right? They play musical instruments. Krishna starts playing the flute. Radharani starts playing the veena. Right? And then everyone begins a kirtan like that, and they're all chanting about Krishna, about Radha. And then, as the momentum picks up, Krishna stands up, Radharani stands up, they start dancing, and then the momentum goes, and it says the dancing and the music and the singing, it goes on for a night of Brahma. Right? 11 o'clock at night till 3:30 in the morning, it just extends. For millions of years, Krishna and gopis just dancing, dancing, and then it just gets more intense and more intense and more intense. The memento just picks up and picks up and describes. And then everyone starts doing solos. You know, all the gopis are in a big circle, coming in and out, and like unbelievable dancing. Even Krishna just looks at it and says, I can't even believe this. It says that Krishna himself just gets mystified. He said, I cannot believe this, how beautiful this is, how incredible this is. And then they start doing solos, right? Each gopi comes in, does like a solo dance, and then comes out, you know, like we go in the middle and we spin, right? So they go in, they do their dance, and they come out. Then finally, Radharani heads in. And when she heads in, she just... Right? Everyone just becomes amazed. And then she comes out, and Krishna goes in and does a solo. Krishna goes in and does the most amazing solo dance. And everyone's just completely mystified. Right? And then, to make it even better, just the two of them go in together. And then they do this most amazing dance at the very end. Just the two of them. And then everything finishes. So there's no sleep in the spiritual world, practically. Because you have to keep up with the pace. You don't sleep for one night of Brahma. Nidra. No Nidra. Practically. No sleep, practically. That's what it's like there. So that's anukirtana. Anu means, anushilana means continuous, continuous, continuous. The devotees just want to do more and more and more service for Krishna. That's how we should be feeling. That's bhakti. That is the process. If you're doing the process effectively, if you're practicing the process properly, you should be feeling, I just want to do more and more and more service. Of course, we have to balance ourselves because we have a material body, which means we have to eat properly. We have to sleep properly. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, not too much eating, not too less. Not too much sleeping, not too less. Right? Not too much work, but not too less. And not too much recreation, but not too less. Everything has to be balanced, because we have a material body. When you get to the spiritual world, then unlimited capacity. So anu means continuous. So here it is saying the process to become realized is Harinam Anu Kirtanam. This is the whole process of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Continuous devotional service. Anu also means following. Anu. So it means that in order for your Harinam Kirtan, in order for your chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra to become perfect, you have to follow in the footsteps of who? Who do you have to follow? How will you learn to chant the holy name perfectly? How will you learn? Very good. Very good. Yeah, Haridas, that's a very good answer. Haridas Thakur. Anu Kirtana. Harinam Anu Kirtana means you're following. Who are you following? How do you learn to chant the holy name? Who do you learn to chant the holy name from? Spiritual masters, your gurus, right? The senior Vaishnavas, they will teach you how to chant. It's not mechanical, right? You have to learn how to chant. Now, if you go to the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, second chapter, 40th verse, it says that when you're chanting the holy name of Krishna, tears should be coming from the eyes. Lord Chaitanya says that that verse in the 11th canto, the second chapter, the 40th verse, that is the essence of the Bhagavatam. Right? This is the process, this is the Abhideya, and the prayojana or the goal is to chant with tears in the eyes. When will you ever learn to do that? That means we haven't even chanted yet. Madhvacharya says, how many tears have we shed since we came to the material world? How long have we been in the material world for? How long have we been here? Prabhupada says, time immemorial. Right? That means millions of births. We've been here for millions of births. Now Madhvacharya says, we've cried so many tears in those millions of births, we could fill an ocean. We cry about everything. Oh, she left me. Oh, he left me. Oh, I didn't get enough samosas for breakfast. We cry about everything. Right? But Madhvacharya says, have you cried one tear for Krishna since you came to the material world? Have you ever cried one tear for Krishna? Or for your spiritual master? Or for the Vaishnavas? Have you ever cried one tear? So many tears we cry for everything else. But when we learn to cry for Krishna, Prabhupada actually says in Nectar of Devotion, this is the perfection of bhakti, when there are tears in the eyes. This means there has to be some emotion in our devotional service. Right? It can't be mechanical. The Bhagavatam says, what is the use of chanting if there are no tears in the eyes? It means your heart is steel framed. It means your heart is hard. We have hard hearts. That's why we're not crying when we're chanting. In the spiritual world, it says Krishna's eyes are always pinkish. You look at his eyes and his iris, like the whitish part, it's always pinkish. Why? Because it says he always has tears in his eyes. And because Krishna has tears in his eyes, so does everyone else. In other words, everyone in the spiritual world, their eyes are always moist. You'll see this with Indian families. Right? One starts crying, then the next one starts crying, and everyone's crying. Even Nityananda Prabhu told me one time, he said, sometimes we don't even know why everyone's crying. You just turn up to someone's house, everyone's crying, so then you start crying. And then after half an hour, someone says, why are we all crying? my second uncle died in Hyderabad. Oh, Krishna. And everyone starts crying. So the spiritual world is like that, to a degree. Not exactly like that, but spiritual world, everyone has moist eyes. Feeling. This is the point Bhagavatam is teaching us. Anukirtana. We have to learn to chant properly. You have to learn from advanced devotees how to chant. So what does that mean? We have to see the advanced devotees, our Shiksha Gurus, our Diksha Guru, and see them chant, watch them chant. You see when the advanced devotees are chanting, what is their mood, what is their absorption? We should also chant like that. Every year I try to go. Last 10 years or so, I've gone to retreats with His Holiness Sachinandan Swami and Burajan Prabhu, Mother Jagatarini, Madhavananda Prabhu, advanced Vaishnavas. So I go there. Why? Because I want to learn how to chant properly. I want to learn from advanced devotees. I watch them, I see them, I study them, I listen to them. Because I want to also chant meaningfully. I don't want to just chant mechanical rounds. Burajan Prabhu said one time, he was in Jagannath Puri. And you know when you look into, has anyone been to Puri? You look through the Simhadwara, right? And there's Patitapavan Jagannath. Right? There's another form of Jagannath if you look through the main gate. And that Jagannath can be seen by the general public because certain people cannot go into the mandir. Those of us who have white skin, who are considered to be non-Hindu. It may change, but at the moment that's the stipulation that we cannot go into the actual. So there's another Jagannath. He's called Patitapavana Jagannath. You can see him if you look through the main gate. He's near the front gate. So that Jagannath, Patitapavana Jagannath, Burajan Prabhu said one time, he was praying to him. He was in Puri and he was there. And he said, I just want to learn now. I've been doing this for so many years. I don't want to just keep doing it mechanically. I don't want to just keep doing this pretentiously. I don't want to just keep doing this year after year after year, but not making progress. I really want to make progress now. So that struck me. I also want to be like that. I want to be a real devotee. Not someone who just follows the process year after year after year, but not actually making advancement. Bhagavatam says, if you're chanting and tears aren't coming from the eyes, then the heart is still framed. Sooner or later, we have to advance in Krishna consciousness. How do you advance? Shyam Mahat Sevaya Vibraha. Bhagavatam says, you go to the second chapter, right? By serving ISKCON, by serving the preaching mission, by spreading Krishna consciousness, gradually that will give us adhikar, a qualification, to develop Vasudev Kata Ruchi, or a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. So here, it is being said in this particular verse, which is the 9th verse. I was speaking on the 11th verse because that's extremely important. But in the 9th verse, it says that Shukadev Goswami, he's a famous impersonalist. He stayed within the womb for how many years? 16 years. He stayed within the womb. He didn't want to come out. Would you have come out if you knew what it was going to be like? If you knew what your life was going to be like before you came out of the womb, would you have come out? Many of us would have stayed in there. Free food. If your mother's a devotee, you get prasadam delivered. Free milk. Nice place to sleep. Everything's warm. Right? He stayed there for 16 years. Right? He thought, I'm not coming out. Why am I going to come out there? It's all maya. It's all illusion. I don't want to get involved. You know, if I come out, I have to see all the maya, deal with all that. Finally, he heard some verse from the Bhagavatam. So then he came out, but then he renounced. He just walked off into the forest. His father, Vyasadeva, said, come back, come back. You're my son. Come back. Right? So he sent some disciples. The disciples went. They spoke the Bhagavatam to him. And when he heard the Bhagavatam, he thought, this is nectar. If I can hear this all the time, then I can stay in this world and I'll be protected. I don't have to worry about maya. Not that you don't have to worry about maya, but I'll be protected from maya. So he came back and he heard the Bhagavatam. And then he became, Shukadeva Goswami, became a pure devotee. Why? Because he was absorbed in the lila. What does lila mean? Lila. Pastime. Lila. Lila smaranam. Remembering Krishna's pastimes. Snat Goswami breaks the word down, lila. He said, actually, lila means to embrace. Do you know the actual definition that he gives? But he breaks it down. Snat Goswami breaks down the Sanskrit. He says that lila means to embrace. Because all of Krishna's pastimes finish in embrace. If he's with his friends, right, at the end of the pastime, they're all embracing. And they're always what you see in the spiritual world. Sometimes there's pictures of Krishna and Balaram, everyone's embracing. All the cowherd boys, they've always got their arms around Krishna. Like that. There's always embrace. With his parents, the pastimes always end in embrace. As soon as he gets home from herding the cows all day, he immediately runs to his mother and his father and embraces them. And with the gopis, it always ends in embrace. You've seen the picture, like there, Radha and Krishna are there together, over there, embracing, like that, or up there, embracing, like that, always together. This is lila. So, Shukadeva Goswami absorbed himself in the leelas of Krishna. Leela means to embrace. Hands up if one day you would like to embrace Krishna. Wow. Quite an advanced group of devotees. Want to embrace Krishna. You have to develop adhika. Adhika means qualification. Not easy to embrace Krishna. But that is our goal. Prabhupada says, the goal of Krishna consciousness is that you will take Krishna by the hand and you will lead him just like Mother Yashoda is leading him. You will see Krishna face to face. So that is the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement. This is the prayojana. This is what the Bhagavatam is teaching us, to become absorbed in Krishna's leelas. And one who is absorbed in Krishna's leelas is with Krishna. We associate with Krishna by hearing his pastimes, by chanting his name, by worshipping his form, by remembering his qualities. Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila. All these things. We absorb ourselves in these things. And this is how we become fully Krishna conscious. So we'll stop here. We'll see if there are any questions or comments on what we discussed.
Can you explain more about the mood when you're crying to Krishna? Because we could be crying to Krishna because we're miserable here in the world. Like you said,
there's some particular mood. Yeah. Ayi nanda tanuja kinkaram. Lord Chaitanya says in the Shikshastika, we should be crying because we're feeling separation from him, which is called Vipralamba. Means, Krishna, I can't live without you. I miss you too much now. On our level, we're just crying because the material world is too much suffering. That's okay. That's good. That's why Krishna does it. Dukalayam ashashvatam. Krishna says in the very beginning, before he sends us here, he says, I'm going to make it miserable for you. Right? Go and enjoy yourself, but it's going to be miserable. Yeah? Have the best time you can, but you're just going to suffer. So we're crying at this point in time for that reason. That's good, because that's an impetus to get us back to Krishna. But it won't take us all the way. When we become more advanced, we're crying because, Krishna, I cannot live without serving you. I want to be with you once again. Is that okay?
That's great.
Okay. Any other question?
When we chant, we should try to be sincere and joyful.
Say it again.
When we chant from our heart, we should try to be sincere and joyfully.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. There are two types of tears. There is hot tears and there are cold tears. Which one is which? When we're happy, right, sometimes we're laughing so much we start to cry, tears come, but the temperature, if you touch the tears, they're cold. It's cool. But when you're in distress and you're crying, you'll see that the temperature of the tears are hot. Right? Two different types of tears. What was your question again? Joyful. Yeah, I like that. So either way, as long as you're crying. Like that. Because when you're so happy, the point is that if you're offering aarti to Radha Vallabha, there should be tears in the eyes. That's the point. If you read the descriptions of the Goswamis, when they did their puja, there were tears in their eyes. So when we're offering the aarti to Radha Vallabha, right? Tears should be coming either out of happiness, right, or out of separation, whatever is coming, but it should be coming. So bhakti is joyful, like that. And even Lord Chaitanya says, if you read Shikshastika, Lord Chaitanya says, whether you make me happy by your embrace or make me broken-hearted by not being present before me. So bhakti is unconditional. A devotee is happy whether Krishna is there or not there. Whether Krishna is in front of him or separate from him. So a devotee is always joyful. But that joy can sometimes be separation or union, like that. So, is that okay?
Good. I was reading somewhere in the introduction, not supposed to cry in front of deities, and you don't really want to cry in front of ladies. So, like I said, is there something we should be chanting alone, or we just have to keep doing something on a main light?
At this point in time, we don't have to worry too much. Because it's not often that we cry. Or ever. You know, when was the last time you cried when you were chanting? You know, so we don't have to worry too much at the moment about hiding ourselves. But if you become advanced, yes, you'll have to hide the emotions. Srila Prabhupada, different places, but in Mayapur, it was one place, but different places. He started chanting Jaya Radha Madhava, and then he just became stunned. And then tears just started flowing down his cheeks. And for about 3 or 4 minutes, Prabhupada was just stunned. And then after 3 or 4 minutes, Prabhupada came back to external consciousness and he looked around and he stood. He was supposed to give class. He was just about to give class, but he stood up and he said, just chant Hare Krishna. And he went to his room. Like that. So Prabhupada was very careful about not making it public. Very careful. Because Prabhupada didn't want it to become a whole sahajiya. You know, because we're not. You know, the tears have got to be real. They can't be artificial. If Prabhupada had been just crying all the time, right, then everyone else in the movement would just be, oh. You know, imagine our Harry nuns. You know, everyone's like, Hare Krishna. Hare Mahabho. Hare. We're not going to attract very high class people to the Hare Krishna movement, so it should not. So Prabhupada was very careful about keeping it.
Wasn't there a class of some devotees like Dan is crying because he's in a being with the service, or Dan is ecstasy or something like that?
In the Nectar of Devotion, Daruka is the chariot driver of Krishna. So Daruka, he actually says the Nectar of Devotion because he was fanning Krishna with the chamara. And the tears were coming so much. He was just so happy to be fanning Krishna that tears were coming so much, and he said, "Damn these tears! Now I can't even see where Krishna is." And you know, so this is like, this is high, high, high. Like that. We have to go A, B, C, D, E, F. Sometimes the devotees start going X, Y, Z. You know, we start getting like, you know, reading, just like in Los Angeles in the 70s, 74, 75, I think, then devotees started the Gopi Bhav Club. So every morning, you know, we have morning program, Bhagavatam class, and then breakfast, and then after breakfast, devotees got together and just reading about Krishna and the Gopis. So then Prabhupada came to Los Angeles, and Prabhupada was in his room, I think, and he could hear in the temple they were reading and doing like that. And Prabhupada said to Tamal Krishnamurti, he said, "What's going on down there?" And they said, "Oh, that is the Gopi Bath Club." And Prabhupada said, "Stop it immediately." And Prabhupada said, "Stop it immediately." He said, "Go and do some service." Like that. In other words, what Prabhupada was saying is we should not go to these things prematurely. These devotees have been devotees for, you know, 5 years, 2 years, 3 years. Adhikara is not sufficient yet. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, when you have been a devotee for 15 or 20 years, you should be taking interest in Krishna's pastimes. You should be. But it's a private thing. Burujan Prabhu told me, he said, when there's a candle, you put the candle in a secluded place. Because if you take the candle outside, it blows out. So if you have these attachments to Krishna, which you should be developing, you know, when we've been devoted 15 or 20 years, we should be developing attachment to hearing about Krishna's pastime, but we should keep it inside, like Lord Chaitanya did. It wasn't like a big public thing. You know, if we're making it like a big public thing, oh yes, you know, Aniruddha Prabhu, I think we should start a Gopi Bhav Club. You know, let's, you know, like it's not a public thing, it's a private thing. But if there are devotees who have a similar disposition, you know, and you understand this devotee likes to hear about Krishna, like that, then you go together somewhere and you read about Krishna. But not like in the Bhagavatam class, you don't just, you know, we don't just go, okay, let's go to the 10th canto, chapter 29. All right, no, we don't just say that, we read the whole Bhagavatam like that. So.
It's just like in a material relationship, you give your private emotions to
yeah. Lord Chaitanya was like that. You know, his ecstasies were in the Gambhira. The Gambhira was a hidden room. Right? It wasn't out in public. He wasn't out, you know, sitting out in the Jagannath temple with 1,000 people speaking about those things. It was just him, Ramananda Roy, Swarup Damodar, Shikimihiti. And Shikimihiti's sister was just sitting outside because she was a lady. She couldn't come in the room, but she just sat outside and she was just listening. So it was only five. And that was it, Lord Chaitanya. It wasn't like everyone could come and hear about these things. It was just the five of them. They would hear about Krishna's pastimes. Hear about Jayadev Goswami's songs, like that. They would hear very intimate things. But it was a small group. It wasn't like a public thing. So, any other question? Comment? Yeah, I heard that. I heard that. I think it was Govinda Lilamrita or Krishna Bhavanamrita, which is Ashtakaliya Lila. And I think I've heard the pastime. I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "Let us print it." And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "Just print one copy. Don't print mass copy." Any other question? Srila Prabhupada ki.